Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 26. Your Schofield Bible, page 1185, 1185. Beginning with verse 19, we'll read through verse 23. We'll read the verses responsibly. I'm going to do it differently, however, tonight. We'll first read all together, because the 19th verse is the text verse. And then I'll read verse 20 and so on. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Let's begin together on verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And let's pray. Father, what a great opportunity we have tonight. We don't realize exactly what we have here, and it's perhaps good that we don't. But help us indeed, as Brother Pins prayed a while ago, that we should not take it for granted. Help us to receive what we can from the Word. Help us to give it the best attention that we can to the preaching, and help us to yield ourselves indeed to Thy Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just needed a little bass there is all it needed. And I never have understood why my wife, my daughter, and my granddaughter don't realize that every song needs some bass in it. And I want to speak tonight from the text read a while ago, and I read it for you again. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I want to speak tonight on the subject obedience to the heavenly vision. School has started this past week, our Hammond Baptist Schools, our Howells Anderson College doors open for the 28th year this coming week. And I think this week also City Baptist, our bus kids schools, the grade school down on Sibley and the high school down on Holman Avenue will open. And I've intended to bring a message on the subject of obedience. Every single civilization that is risen has risen under the caption of obedience. And every civilization that is fallen has fallen over the obstacle of disobedience. You are, get this now, you are what and whom you obey. I want you to listen carefully. I want to speak to you tonight on a word that is probably the most neglected word in this generation. America is crumbling tonight because America does not respect or obey authority. And don't you say amen if you went 70 miles an hour in a 55 mile zone this week. It's very, very funny. Everybody is for the other fellow obeying. Everybody is for those under you obeying you. But you have no right to decide. Bible says to be subject to the higher powers. What that means is most subject to the highest power. And as the powers come down, you obey the highest power if there's a conflict. And please let me help you, Father. I've watched a generation destroy this country. I've watched the demise of what was once the mighty United States of America. still the greatest nation on the face of the earth, which shows what bad shape the rest of them are in. I pray tonight there'd be one little spot here. It's 523 Sibley Street, downtown Hammond, Indiana, where the word obedience is still a sacred word, and a word that is used, honored, and practiced. Speak to me and through me to the hearts of the people in these moments, please. Amen. No word in our English language has been more or so imprisoned as has the word obedience. It has been indicted as a tyrant, tried as a czar, convicted as a dictator, and sentenced to die. Tonight, I want to appeal the sentence. I want to liberate obedience. I want to unbind its fetters, loosen its chains, and set it free. Obedience has wrongly been associated with such words as slavery, tyranny, and bondage. It has been banned in our schools, banished from our homes, ignored on our highways, exiled from our society, and forgotten in our churches. Obedience is a dirty 9-letter word. Coming from that little dirty 4-letter word called obey. To demand obedience to parents is child abuse. To teach obedience to a husband is sex discrimination. To stress obedience to a school principal is preventing academic freedom. Athletes get coaches fired because they will not obey the coaches. Students get teachers dismissed. Deacons fire pastors they're supposed to follow. And we, like every decadent civilization, have taken regular doses of Satan's prescription to Eve, every man do that which is right in his own eyes. We have listened to the devil as he has led us to fulfill the statement of Isaiah 53:6. All we sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And don't you criticize the hippies that disobey if you disobey your parents. And don't you criticize the lawbreakers in this new morality society of ours if you are not keeping the... There are people here tonight, got your cars parked over here in the senior citizen parking lot, and you're 30, 35, 40 years of age. Why don't you grow your hair long, fellas, and get you an earring? And ladies, why don't you get your earring through your nose and through your ear and just join the hippie crowd? Now, I'm trying to tell you, you listen to me. Obedience is for you as much as anybody else. And I'm not talking about obedience to you only. I'm talking about obedience from you also. Hugh, like to admit it, but our civilization has been built on the Bible commands to obey authority. Every school must have a teacher. Every school must have a principal. Every church must have a pastor. Every city must have a mayor. Every state must have a governor. Every nation must have a president or a king. Every team must have a coach. Every organization has to have somebody who's chosen to lead and who is obeyed. The same Bible still thunders out, servants, obey your masters. You Hiles Anderson College young men that don't obey your employer, I hope when you get a letter comes to me asking for my recommendation for you to pastor a church, I hope you know I'll block it if I can. I'll not sign my name recommending anybody who disobeys his boss. The same Bible still thunders out, children, obey your parents. And from this pulpit, that same thing is thundered out for all these 40 years. You're not a good Christian if you don't obey your mom and dad. You might be the best soul winning, the teenage soul winning, the best student in the Christian school. You might be have memorized more verses than any kid in the school, but you're a bad Christian, a bad person, and a rebel if you don't obey your mom and dad. That same Bible thunders out, wives, be obedient to their own husbands. Titus 2:5. You may be the best Sunday school teacher here. You may be the best WMS worker here. You might be the best soloist in the choir. You might be the most talented person or lady in the church. You might be the best speaker in the church. I don't care. If you don't obey your husband, you're not a good Christian. You're not right with God. And it's your kind that's brought America down to her knees in obeisance to Satan himself. The Bible still thunders out, servants, obey, be obedient in all things, Colossians 3:22. And the Bible still thunders out, Hebrews 13:17, talking about authority in the church. The Bible still thunders out, Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and have taught you the word of God. Hear this statement. You cannot obey God and disobey his command to obey those he commands you to obey. See what I said? If you don't obey your parents, you're disobeying God because God commanded you to obey your parents. If you're not in submission to your husband, then you're not obeying God because God told you to be in submission to your husband. If you're disobeying the laws of the land, as long as they don't conflict with the laws of this book, then you're disobeying God because God has told you to be subject to the higher powers. And I tell you what, there needs to be an old-fashioned revival here. If you want to get your life in danger, just obey the traffic laws. Try stopping at a stop sign. I mean, stop. I don't mean slow down. Try stopping. And be sure your insurance is paid up, because you're going to get hit from the rear end. I'll promise you that. And try obeying the speed limit. Boy, this always gets real quiet. In fact, I don't get much help in the platform on this part of the subject. In the choir, there's silence in the choir for the space of 30 minutes. But now, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you say. You're supposed to obey the laws of the land. And so obedience is almost a part of history. But I say it again. You cannot obey God without obeying those that God commands you to obey. For in disobeying those he commands you to obey, you're disobeying the command of God who in fact obey them. Now, let me clarify the word obedience. Number one, it is not slavery. In spite of the yuppie society, in spite of the hippie society, obedience is not slavery. Then what is obedience? Let me tell you. It is making your master your servant. Obedience, he who serves becomes the master. Recall the story of the prodigal son. He took that portion of his father's money, which was his own inheritance. He goes to the far country. He spends all his substance in riotous living. His brother stays home, works in the field. His brother does not squander his father's hard-earned money, earned on a farm. His brother stays home and works. The prodigal son goes out to the far country, spends his substance, and goes down and down and down. I will tell you something. Now, you listen carefully to me. The first step toward you becoming a sorry citizen and a disgrace to society is when you decide whom you're going to obey. Now, you listen to me, pupils. You're supposed to obey your teacher. I don't mean with that teenage, surly look on your face. I mean, yes, ma'am. And yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and no, sir. And let it be said that there's one place in America where the classroom is still a place where the teacher is respected and obeyed by the pupils. The prodigal son comes back home. The brother would not come to the party. A party was given, and they killed the fatted calf, and had a big barbecue, no doubt, and had the neighbors to come to welcome home the prodigal son. The father said, put a ring on his finger and put shoes on his feet, a pair of shoes on his feet, and a robe on his back, a new suit of clothes, please. But the brother who stayed home and worked wouldn't go to the party. Now, I'm a little tired of preachers criticizing that guy. I wouldn't have gone to the cotton picking party either. And you wouldn't either. If you'd been out in the field working 12 hours a day from sunup to sundown, and your brother was down at a Holiday Inn drinking beer and liquor and wine, women and songs, spending his daddy's money, and he comes back home, have a party for him, a pair of shoes, and a new suit of clothes, and a ring on his finger, you wouldn't have gone to the party, and I wouldn't have gone to the party. It so happens I like the guy. The father said, son, he said, Father, these many years do I serve thee. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. He said, Dad, I've always obeyed you. I've never disobeyed you. And the father said, son, all that I have is thine. The prodigal son got a pair of shoes, and the brother stayed home, got the whole closet full of shoes. And the prodigal son got a new suit, but the son that stayed home got the wardrobe. And the prodigal son got a ring on his finger, but the brother that stayed home got the entire jewelry box, and he said, all that I have is thine. Now you listen, in case you'd like to have some authority someday, in case you'd like to have some power someday, in case you'd like to have somebody obey you someday, then you better get down and obey the authority over you right now. Many of you little punkos in school and punkettes, you're going to one of these days, you're never going to have any authority because you don't get authority by exerting authority. You get authority by obeying authority. And by the way, the story of the prodigal son is a type of God the Father. And God the Father said to the son who stayed home and worked hard, all that I have is thine. And I'll tell you something else, too. When the prodigal son came home and he went to the field the next morning to go to work, I wonder who his boss was. His boss was the son who stayed home. Now, you listen to me. I'm the best friend you got. You listen to me. In case some of you young boys in Hammond Baptist High School ever want to have any authority or any power or influence at all, you go to class, you sit there, you obey that teacher, quit laughing at the teacher, quit making fun of the teacher, and quit disobeying the teacher, and be a decent human being, and one day God will say, I want you to have some authority also. The ground says to the tree, obey me, and I will obey you. I will give you life. I will cause you to have fruit. But first you will have to enter into my soil. You obey me, and I will obey you. The wall socket says, you obey me, and I will obey you. The wall socket says, you take that plug to that radio, and you put it right inside me, and I will run that radio for you. You obey me, I will run your waffle iron. I'll run your radio. I'll run your electric shaver. I'll run your hair dryer. I'll run your refrigerator. I'll run your dishwasher. I'll run your washing machine. I'll run your dryer. But the first thing you got to do is you've got to obey me before I obey you. And you are never going to have anybody obey you till you become an obedient person. The car says, obey me, and I will obey you, and you're expecting this illustration, so I'm going to give it to you. Years ago, we lived about 25 years ago, I guess, we were living over on Greenwood in Munster. Every morning I stopped at the White Hen Pantry on 175th in Columbia to get a USA Today paper, and I would then drive on to work. This particular morning, it was 12 below zero. No, 20 below zero and 12 inches of snow on the ground. It may have been 12 inches of snow. It doesn't make any difference. It's a heap of both. And so I drove up beside White Inn Pantry on 175th Street there, got out, walked in. I got my USA Today paper, went back out in the car, and it wouldn't start. Oh, dirty bric-a-brac, a pack of lumber blocks, a spider rib. I go talking tongues again. But I couldn't get it started. I tried and I tried. It wouldn't even speak. It just wouldn't do a thing. I'd turn that starter, it wouldn't budge. I went back inside the fighting factory, and I picked up the phone, and I called my mechanic, and I said to my mechanic, I said, this is Jack Hiles, pastor of First Baptist Church. I'm down 175th Street in Columbia. My car won't start. Would you come, please, and get it started? He said, Reverend, I'll be there in about an hour. Oh, I said, no, you won't. You'll be here in 5 minutes. It's just a little piece. Oh, he said, Reverend, I got 12 folks ahead of you. I said, no, I just went to the top of the list. He said, I can't do that. I said, how many years have you been taking care of our church vehicles? He said, several. I said, would you like to add another year to that? He said, I'll be right there. He came, he got in the car, he sat down, he put his head underneath the dash like that, and did like that, and the car started. It didn't take him 15 seconds to fix that car. I said, what do I owe you? He said, $35. I gave him $35. I said, you're the best mechanic I've ever seen in my life. I said, my car wouldn't budge. Now it started just like that, just a few seconds. What was wrong with it, I asked. He said, the stick was out in park. Are you home tonight? He said, the stick was not in park. All he did was take that stick and push it from neutral to park. And I paid $35 for that. See, my car was talking to me. My car was saying, you don't obey me, I don't obey you. You have to do what I say, or I won't do what you say. If you'll put the stick in park and obey me, then I will start. And I will run when you say run. I will turn when you say turn. I will stop when you say stop, and go when you say go. I will turn where you say turn, but, you listen, if you do not first obey me, I will not obey you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we need, in substitution for some of this froth, and I'm for all the shouting and praising God, but if you're sitting there disobeying your teacher and making fun of your principal, not obeying your college president or your college teacher or your high school teacher, just keep your trap shut while I'm speaking. I'm saying we need in America a revival of character, integrity, honesty, punctuality, decency, and obeying authority. Our society is going to crumble unless I'm talking about us. I'm not talking about the hippies. I'm not talking about the Michael Jackson crowd. I'm talking about people in this auditorium. Until we quit doing that which is right in our own eyes, we'll have no society which we are our children. The great pastors sent out from Howells Anderson College obeyed while they were in school. And the guys that didn't obey while they're in school are selling used cars now. West Point says, you come to our institution and obey us for several years, and we'll make you a lieutenant, or a captain, or a colonel, or a general. But you will not graduate from this institution until you learn to obey. For obedience is the way to mastery. It's the way to authority. It's the way to being obeyed. And unless you learn to obey, you hear me carefully. I don't care how much talent you've got. I don't care how much charisma you have. You will fall on your stubborn face until you learn to obey authority which is over you. No one has more authority than the men on this platform. No one. You won't find a group of men in America on anybody's staff who have more authority than these men do. You know why? Because these men would do anything Brother Hiles wants them to do. I rarely ever give any kind of orders to these men. Rarely ever. I don't have to. Because I know that if I gave the slightest hint, I know these men want to serve me. Consequently, I in turn can give them freedom, and the way they got their freedom, they didn't walk in the office and say, you listen to me, preacher, I demand more authority. You got my hands tied. No, sir. They walked in my office and said, we're reporting for duty, sir. What do you want? And I, knowing that I had that right, rarely ever exercise it, and these men have more authority than any staff in America, and the reason is they're obedient. No one has more authority or liberty as a wife than Ms. Hiles. But the honest, simple truth is the reason she has that is because she spends her life looking for what I need, looking for what I'd like to have, the slightest little thing. And if I don't have to say do this, if she even gets the hint that I want it done, her obedience has caused me to give to her authority, and she has liberty, and she has authority. Why? Because she's obedient. And some of you wives walk up to them and say, but I never have any authority. I hope you never get any. In fact, if he divorces you, I won't be a part of it, but I'll say amen. And don't you do that, fellas. But I want to tell you something now. The way to authority is obedience. No principles have more authority than my principles do. Brother Douglas, Brother Sisson, Brother Vogel, Brother Boyd. These men have authority. I hardly ever say to you, you do this, buddy. I don't have to say it, because that man lives to please his preacher. And the fact that he lives to please his preacher means I can take off all the restraint and all the shackles and all the chains and all the binding, and I can say to him, I know if I ever have to tell you to do something, you will. So I do. I can give you authority and I can give you power. And he runs the Hammond Baptist Junior High School, but he knows that if I want something, that's what he wants. The students who have authority are those who obey. Billy Sunday was a great evangelist, but he first was an obedient assistant to J. Wilbur Chapman. Elisha was a man of great authority, but first he was an obedient assistant to Elijah. John R. Rice was a man of great authority, but first he was obedient as an assistant pastor in West Texas. Dr. G.B. Vick, one time pastor of the largest church in the world, was a man of great authority, but first for years he was assistant pastor, an obedient assistant pastor for Dr. J. Frank Norris. The Apostle Paul, the greatest preacher that ever lived and greatest Christian that ever lived, started off as an obedient assistant pastor and was a subservient to authority. And I don't care who it is, every great man of God who's ever lived has first been obedient and in subjection to authority, and then God could trust him with authority. I would like a statement here you won't agree with, maybe. We shouldn't have to have demerits. And if every person, listen carefully, if every person in this room and every student got right with God, we could ditch the demerit system. I don't like the demerit system. What it is, it's our allowing a student so much disobedience. We're saying you can be disobedient up to this point. I don't like the demerit system, and it would not be necessary. Hey, if we gave demerits to these guys on the platform, they wouldn't get any. Now, you listen carefully to me. I'm a little tired of somebody saying, but all I got was 40 demerits this year. That's 40 too many. Don't brag on your disobedience. Every student in this room ought to go to school this year and say, I'm not going to get any demerits. We often laugh, Brother Logan. Say that these are the students that got no demerits. They're the ones that didn't have much fun this year. You said that, didn't you? You sorry backslider? Huh? We fired you at deacon meeting last night. But I said again, if the students at Hammond Baptist Grade School, Hammond Baptist High School, Hammond Baptist Junior High, City Baptist High School, City Baptist Grade School, and Howells Anderson College were right with God, we wouldn't have to have a demerit system. But that's not my text. That's not my sermon. My sermon is, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Here's an old man looking back on his life, telling his life's story. He is on trial before Agrippa. He goes back to Damascus Road, way back yonder when he first saw the light on the road to Damascus. And he says, I got a vision that day. It's been a long time since that Damascus experience, but I've not been disobedient to that vision. Paul travels to Antioch. His travels to Cyprus, Pamphylia, Perga, Iconium, Antioch of Pisidia, Lystra, Galatia, Troas, Macedonia, Thessalonica, Colossae, Ephesus, Rome, Corinth, all of those, Berea, all of those places. His stone being stoned, his being in shipwreck, his being beaten. All those years, Paul said, back yonder, God spoke to my heart and called me to be a messenger of the truth to the Gentiles. And I have spent my life being obedient to that one little vision back there. And I'm talking to folks tonight who are disobedient to the heavenly vision. Not only should you be obedient to your parents as a child, your husband as a wife, your teacher and principal as a student, your government as a citizen, but you're to be obedient to that vision that God gave you and the call that God gave you. And a bunch of us tonight need to go back there to that vision and reaffirm our obedience to the call of God. I, too, had a vision. 44. New Year's Eve, 1944, I think it was. I was sitting in a watch night service about 10 minutes to midnight. The pastor gave an invitation, and I, as a very introverted young man, was called to preach. I was sitting over here about the second row from the front in this section. A little girl named Marguerite Stevenson, a teenager in our church, wrote a little note and a piece of paper, sent it down to me, and she said, Jack, I happen to feel that God is calling you to preach tonight. Go ahead and surrender. 55 years ago, a teenage lad walked down the aisle and surrendered his life to preach the gospel. Now for 55 years, I've been obedient to that heavenly vision. Every battle I fought is obedience to that heavenly vision. Every burden I've borne is obedience to that heavenly vision. Every heartache I've had is obedience to that heavenly vision. Every lonely night, every tear I've shed has been obedient to that heavenly vision. Tonight, I'm talking to people. God gave you a vision. God called you to something full-time, but you're being disobedient to the heavenly vision tonight. I called you back to obedience to the call of God in your life. I had a vision to start a high school. Even last night at Deacon's meeting, we wrestle with our schools and how to protect our young people. We're doing the best we can to protect our kids. The FBI said that if we carry out the plans that our deacons voted to carry out last night, we'll be the most protected school in this area. And that's what it ought to be. But I'm saying that to this moment, night after night, day after day, week after week, month after month, we've never missed a payroll in 30 years, bless God. We've never missed a single payroll. We've opened our doors on time every day. Why? I'll be why. Because the old man back yonder had a vision one time 30 years ago, and he's not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. On the freeway in Southern California, praying all night long, walking up and down the freeway, I had a vision. God shocked me to death and told me he wanted me to start a college. Came back home in 28 years ago, this 28 years ago, this September. We opened the doors to Hiles Anderson College. We didn't have a door to open. We didn't have a building, had any students, had no faculty. We knew God wanted to start a college. Now, for these 28 years, you have no idea how many times I've sat in office in tears running down my cheeks trying to figure out how to keep the doors open, how to keep the bills paid. But hallelujah, the bills are paid, and the college is debt-free, and the high school is debt-free, and the junior high is debt. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the old man was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. You met her, and you had a dream. I married a couple yesterday. I asked the fellow, when did you decide to marry her? He said, first time I saw her. He said, she was singing at youth conference. I was sitting in the audience, looked up and I saw her and said, that's the one I want to marry. I'm not saying that's a good idea, but at least he had a vision. And you had a vision. Wait a minute now. You went to the altar. And you gave some sacred vows like this. I take you to my wedded wife, to heaven to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, sickness and health, poverty and wealth, to love and cherish till death do us part. Hey, how you doing on that heavenly, on that vision? Huh? How much have you cherished her this week? How much have you loved her this week? How have you treated her this week? I'm saying there are men in this room tonight who made some vows and you perjured your soul in the courts of heaven. It's at the altar of the church. It's time we have enough character in America to get back to obeying the promises we made at the altar. You saw him. You said he's the dream boat. Now you need a life raft. And you had a vision. He's the one I want. And you stood right here or at somebody else's altar and you said, I take thee to my wedded husband to have and to hold from this day forward for better, for worse, for richer, poorer, in sickness and health and love, cherish. And you said, obey. Did you hear what I said? You said, obey.
He's not all he ought to be.
Well, you're not a combination of Mother Teresa and Liz Taylor yourself. Now, you listen to me carefully. I'm not preaching tonight to people in Washington, D.C. They need it, especially one of them. But I'm not preaching tonight to people in the liberal churches that have their doors closed. I'm not preaching to bingo churches tonight playing bingo when you ought to have somebody preaching the Bible to them. I'm preaching to people in the auditorium of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. It's time that you women went home and loved your husband and were affectionate to your husband and fulfilled the promise that you made and became obedient to your heavenly vision. You had a vision to be a preacher. You surrendered. But many of you are disobedient to that vision. You said, Brother Hans, I didn't mean it. I'm sure I've used this before. Not often, maybe once. I lived on 1531 Exeter Street when the war was... No, I didn't. Yes, it is. Right across the street from me is a fellow named Perry Weldon. We moved from there, but Perry Weldon and I still were good friends. We became 18 about the same time, and he and I were good friends, so we decided... I was going to go in the Army. I was going to get drafted, and he decided that he's going to have to within 6 months, so he'd go ahead and join with me. We went down and volunteered what we called immediate induction and joined the infantry. I later joined the paratroopers. And Perry Weldon said, I'll go with you. Maybe they'll send us to the same place together. He goes down. He enlists because I did. I enlisted because I had to. Then he goes back home, and his mother and dad change his mind. He goes down to the sergeant, and he says to the sergeant, I've enlisted, I've been sworn in, United States Army, but Mommy says I can't do it. And the sergeant said, that's okay, son. You go on home, we'll tear up your papers here. Oh, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. He was as much in the Army as I was. And he went to the same boot camp I went to. I volunteered because I wanted to. He volunteered because I did. Now, some of you folks in some youth conference somewhere, your neighbor next time to you walked down the aisle and surrendered his life to full-time Christian service and keep from being embarrassed, you did the same thing and you volunteered. Now, whether you like it or not, you're in the army of God. And there are hundreds of people in your marriage, in your ministry, in your life, you are disobedient to the purpose and call of God or disobedient to the heavenly vision. You had a vision to go to the mission field. But you're disobedient to that vision. You had a vision to get your degree from college. But you've been disobedient to that vision. You had a vision to become a Christian school teacher. Hey, you know, this just hit me. You know who I admire? Jack Hyams. You know who else I admire? Fred Mooney. Let me tell you why. Fred Mooney, one of our First Baptist boys, he surrendered his life to full-time service for God to become a Christian school teacher. Went to Hiles Anderson College, graduated, started teaching in our junior high. How many years ago? 24 years ago, started teaching in our junior high. But he had a family. We couldn't pay him enough money to make a living for his family. So he goes in business for himself. So he can make enough money to supplement his income so he can feed his family and provide for them. His business begins to prosper. Very, very prosperous business. His income from Hammond Baptist Schools is but a small fraction of his income and his business. In fact, he's so wealthy, he told me that if you need any money, just call him tonight after the service is over. Wait a minute. Very successful in his business. But he said, I'm afraid to quit teaching. Because God called me to teach. And he still goes down there for a few cents compared to his income and his business. And teaches all day, 5 days a week at Hammond Baptist Junior High School. Why? He's not being disobedient to his heavenly vision. What did you surrender to do? What vows did you make? What promise did you make? Paul said, I was walking down the Damascus Road, heading to kill and persecute some Christians. A light came around me. I looked up and said, who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus whom thou persecuted. He said, what would thou have me do? And he said, everything I've done, every stone that's pelted my body, every fist that's beat my face, every whip that's beaten my back, every lonely night I've spent in jail, every time I've heard the locking of the jail cell, it's because back yonder I had a vision, and I'm an old man now, too many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come, but I have not been disobedient to what God called me to do back yonder many years ago. So I call you tonight. I call upon you students to obey your teachers. I call upon you teachers to obey the administration. I call upon you children to obey your parents. I call upon you employees to obey your employers. I call upon your wives to obey your husbands. I call upon you Christians to obey the Bible. I call upon you citizens to obey the laws of the land. And I call upon all of us to be obedient to the heavenly vision, the vow, the sacred promise we made to God way back yonder. I did not know when All-American Joe Boyd was sitting behind me at West Night Service, my hero. I was trembling because All-American Joe Boyd was sitting behind me. He had surrendered his life to preach the gospel not long before that, and the church stood and gave him a standing ovation. He was the hero of our neighborhood. I was the son of the neighborhood drunk, a little introverted kid. When God called me to preach, I walked down the aisle that night. Nobody clapped. I didn't get a sitting ovation or a laying ovation. Brother Sizemore stood up and he said, folks, we only have one decision tonight. He said, before I read the name of the decision, I want to remind all of you that our God is a miracle-working God. He said, little Jackie Boy Hiles has come tonight, turning his life to preach the gospel. What God didn't know that night, what God did know, and what those people didn't know, God had himself a man. Little man, but a man. Introverted man, but a man. All these years, and all these battles, and all these tears, and over 9 million miles flown on jet airplanes, and almost 66,000 sermons preached around the world, it all goes back to the Watch Night service 55 years ago when I got the heavenly vision. Do you need to rearrange your obedience to your parents, your country and the laws of the land, your husband, your teacher, your employer, your heavenly vision, our heavenly Father? I pray tonight you'd speak to all of our hearts. Help us to push that little red reset button to make the disposal all work again. To get back in focus. I pray tonight you'd help us